Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many times when we read Luke 2 or we listen to Linus quoting it on a Charlie Brown Christmas, we call it the Christmas story, right? And that's right to do so. It's the story of Christ's birth, and what a tremendous story it is. It's a story that's full of the good news of great joy that's for all people. It's the greatest story we can tell. But of course, we're here tonight because it's so much more than just a great story. It's not just a great story, it's also great history. The events that are described in Luke 2 is not made up. They're not made up. It's not the stuff of fairy tales or a screenplay for a great movie. It's real life. These things really happened. It happened at a real time, in a real place, to real people, so that you and I could have a real Savior to save us from some very real enemies. So tonight I want to share with you more than just the Christmas story. I want to share with you the Christmas history. Number one, it occurred in a real time. Luke very carefully tells us when the birth of the Christ took place. It didn't take place like a fairy tale once upon a time in the land of Oz. It took place in the times of two politicians. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So this took place at a time when two real politicians were in power. First, and most importantly, Caesar Augustus was emperor of Rome. So that means it happened sometime between 27 BC and AD 14. 27 years before Christ, and Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, 14 years after what we would guess to be Christ's birth. He was one of the greatest, Augustus was one of the greatest and most powerful of all Roman emperors, and you can see his statue here. Notice, that's a real person. It's a real guy. It's not an evil king or the wicked queen from a fairy tale. He's a real guy, a real politician, a real person who lived, who ruled, and who died. It also happened when Cyrenius, sometimes pronounced Kyrenius with a Q, was governor of Syria. Cyrenius was a good friend of Augustus. He lived between 51 BC to AD 21. And here you can see his face and inscription on this ancient coin from the time of Christ. So it's a real guy. So that's when it happened. Augustus was emperor, Kyrenius was governor, real people, real politicians, and they do what real politicians do. They tax people, right? It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You can't get any more real. Nothing more real than death and taxes, right? Why are Joseph and Mary headed for Bethlehem? They are headed there for the most mundane, most normal, most real reason that all of us can relate to. It's tax time. Caesar decrees that a census should be taken of the whole Roman Empire. Everyone needs to go back to the place of his heritage, the place of his fathers, to be registered so that the empire, the Roman Empire, could tax them. It doesn't get more real life than this. The birth of Christ happens at a real time, and it happens at a real place called Bethlehem. Luke 2, 4 and 5 continues. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was house of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So Joseph and Mary, because of what Augustus Caesar, what Caesar Augustus decreed, they are forced to leave their home in Nazareth and make the journey to Bethlehem. Now remember, Nazareth is a real place too. It didn't have a great reputation. Nathanael, one of the 12 whom Jesus called to be his disciples, when told that they had found the Messiah, that he was from Nazareth, said, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nazareth is the hometown of Mary and Joseph, but it's not the place where their family is originally from. They are descendants of the great king David. And King David was born in Bethlehem. The decree The decree from the politicians tells them that they must go to the place of their heritage, the place of their fathers. So Mary and Joseph set out for Bethlehem. And here's the thing. The distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is 70 miles. There are no cars. There are no tollways. There are no direct flights from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If you want to get to Bethlehem, you walk there. Walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem would be the same as us deciding we're going to walk from Milan to Dixon, Illinois. It's about that far. Now, take this a step further. Imagine trying to walk from Milan to Dixon while you are 9 months pregnant. Now, this has gone from something really hard, and it's been transformed into something painfully difficult, a real ordeal. But they have to do it. They have no choice. It's a real situation. A scary situation that Mary and Joseph find themselves in. So they get to Bethlehem after this painfully difficult ordeal. And what do they find? Well, you know what they find. Bethlehem is packed with people. Turns out lots of people are descendants of David. And they get to the inn. And guess what? There's no room at the inn. Now, if you are Mary and Joseph, you've traveled all this way, probably traveled over a week or 10 days or more. How are you feeling? Anxious? Scared? Desperate? I'm sure they felt all of those things. But they know the Lord is with them, and they do the best they can. They decide to spend the night with the animals. And that night, it came time for the baby to be born. So they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, a place that animals eat out of. That's the reality of the first Christmas. Number three, real people. The reality of the first Christmas, the Christmas history involves a real time, the days of Caesar Augustus, a real place, Bethlehem, 5 miles south of Jerusalem, and real people. We've talked about Mary and Joseph, the incredible difficulties and challenges they faced. Let's turn our attention to the shepherds. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. Luke 2, 8 and 9. You know, we always have such an idyllic picture of the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. We think they're just sitting there on the ground, looking at the stars, doing nothing. It sounds so peaceful and tranquil, but that's not what the life of a shepherd was like. Being a shepherd, especially in those days, but even now, being a shepherd is hard work. Shepherds were hard-working people. I don't think they were sitting around all day. Sheep can't take care of themselves. They're pretty helpless creatures. Sheep needs shepherds to lead them, to make sure they find places where they can eat, good water to drink, protect them, clean them, shear them, take care of their parasites, keep them from poisoning themselves by eating the wrong stuff, control the bugs that attack them constantly, and do all the things necessary to keep them healthy, safe, and protected. It was hard work for hard people. It's a far cry from the scholars who were there in Herod's palace, 5 miles away, trying to figure out the prophecies, studying the books all day, figuring out when the Christ was going to come and where he was going to come to. No, shepherds were different. They had to be tough and rough people. It's not an accident that the greatest war in Israel's history, Joseph and Mary's ancestor, King David, the guy who slew Goliath, started out as a shepherd out there in the fields of Bethlehem. It's no accident that he was good with a sling. It's no accident that he knew how to use a sword by the time he joins Saul's army. He tells Saul why he's not afraid of Goliath. He says, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." In other words, David was not afraid to go hand to hand. David's not afraid to engage in hand-to-hand combat with a lion or hand-to-paw or whatever. Not to mention the generous packs of wolves, which were constantly around wherever there was sheep. And don't forget about thieves. Humans aren't, well, we're not known for our honesty. There's people who want to steal sheep for themselves and are willing to hurt or even kill shepherds to do so. Shepherds have to be tough people. They don't have time to sit around. They've got work to do constantly. They're not scholars. They're not Bible experts. They're everyday working people who are working hard jobs day in and day out. They are real people with real jobs doing real work. And these are the people, not the king, not his scholars in Jerusalem, not the priests of the Levites in the temple 5 miles away. No, the people God sends the angel to are real people, shepherds. Real people that he is going to proclaim to the best news in all of history. You see, an angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds, and he's going to tell them about number four, a real Savior. The angel of the Lord appears to these shepherds, and they are not just afraid. They are, in the words of Linus and the King James Version, sore afraid, which means really, really afraid. If you miss someone, you say that person is missed. But if you really, really miss someone, you say that person is sorely missed. That's the same idea, same use of the word. They were sore afraid, really, really afraid. But the angel tells them they do not need to be afraid. The angel tells them instead, I have good news for you. Luke 2, 10 through 11. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We know what behold means, right? It is something that is spectacular, something that is amazing, something that is unexpected. Unto you is born this very night Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And then he tells him what he's going to be. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying, not in a beautiful crib, not in a fancy bed, but in a manger, in a feeding trough for animals, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now that's spectacular. That's amazing. That's unexpected. But this is the Savior who has come for you. This Savior, Christ the Lord, is here to defeat our real enemies. And our real enemies are not the politicians. It's not Augustus. It's not Cyrenius. It's not the Romans. It's not any other politician. Our real enemies are sin, the devil, and death itself. This Savior is going to bring real salvation from our real enemies. Not a temporary peace, not a temporary salvation, an eternal salvation. And the Savior will accomplish this eternal salvation, not by force, not by sword, not the way David did it, by a sling. Nope. This Savior will accomplish the salvation through love and through sacrifice. Sacrificing himself on a cross to pay for sin, sacrificing himself on a cross to defeat the devil, and then rising again so that we might overcome even death itself. This is the real Savior who has come to this real time and this real place and to these real people in order to save them from their real enemies. And the reaction of the shepherds is immediate and it is overwhelming. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Luke 2, 15 to 16. They went with haste. They went at top speed and found everything just as had been told them. They found the real Savior lying in a real manger, and they were filled with real joy. They couldn't wait to get to Bethlehem. They couldn't wait to see for themselves this real Savior that the Lord had told them about. They could not contain themselves. They were bursting with joy. They were filled with joy that they rushed from there and told everyone about everything they had seen and heard. They could not contain themselves. They were bursting with joy. That's what happens when we encounter the real Savior. That real joy can be yours tonight. Because he's not just the Savior of the shepherds, nor is he just the Savior of Mary and Joseph. He's not just the Savior of the people of Israel, and he's not just the Savior of the ancient world. He is your Savior. Remember what the angel said? For unto you is born this day a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.